Thanks again for everybody for helping us open the meeting. I would like to welcome those that have joined us since we first started. We're glad you're here. Huge welcome to any visitors and a massive welcome to any newcomers that might be in the room with us tonight. We hope you're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. Like I said, we do have a speaker tonight, and I'm going to hand you over to the wonderful Lisa, who's going to. So over to you, Lisa.
Thank you, Steve. Hi, everyone. I'm Lisa. I'm an addict.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Well, so I'm very excited this evening and to be able to introduce you to our speaker. She is a dear friend of mine. Just somebody that I really look up to, her level of commitment to service and to the NA program. She really is inspirational with that stuff. One of the most generous people I've ever met. She really, really gives her time. And I met her early on in my recovery. I think it was through HIGNA meetings, actually. But she's just always been such a loving and supportive friend to me. And I love listening to her share because she's always so honest and just says it from the heart. And I'm really looking forward to hearing her. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Selena. You can share for 40 to 45 minutes or whatever you're comfortable with. Take it away.
Oh God, thank you, Lisa. You made me really emotional there, with that introduction. Thank you so much. They're lovely words. My name is Selena. I'm an addict, and
Hi, Selena. Hello, Selena.
you know what? I need this meeting badly, and yeah, I'm really happy I'm here. I'm a little bit emotional, to be honest. I'm just after leaving my best friend and her partner, who is one of us, and she is going into treatment on Monday morning, and we just had some food together, and dear sweet Jesus, it just brought me right back to the start. It really did. And she's actually going into the same treatment center that I went into in 2017, so it's all very close to home for me. But I'm really happy. Like, she is 2 years to and fro, and she's finally surrendered. And it was very emotional, and it was very emotional saying goodbye to her there. So yeah, I'm a bit raw. I'm a bit raw anyway, guys. I'll be honest with you. I've gone through probably the worst 3 months health-wise in my recovery, and I'm still going through it, and it's been very hard, both physically and mentally. I'd like to welcome, and I mean this, any newcomers who are here, because you are the most important person at this meeting, like our literature says. I'd also like to welcome anyone who's come back from a relapse, because I know what that's like. And of course, a massive welcome to everybody who's here, but the newcomer particularly. You are the most important person. And I really hope that I've meditated and I've prayed before I came on here, which I do for if I'm doing a main share anywhere. And I've just asked my higher powers to just help me share from my heart and not my head, and do the best job that I possibly can this evening. So I hope that I can do recovery some justice, even though I'm struggling. By Jesus, am I grateful to be clean. Because, like, I just seeing that girl this evening across the table from me and seeing the mess that she's in just broke my fucking heart. And excuse me, my language, I'm an Irish person and we curse a lot. So, I'm going to try my best, but it will slip out every now and again. So just to give you a kind of a snapshot, so I'm 54. I'm the oldest of three children. I'm the only girl. I have two brothers younger than me. One lives in Ireland, one in Florida. Mum and dad are still alive. I'm very grateful to have my father, particularly in my life. So I was born with pneumonia, and I basically went from the womb into an incubator, and I was brought to another hospital in Dublin. I was born in Dublin, and I was brought to another hospital, and I was there for 2 months in an incubator on my own. And knowing what I know now through my studies and being in recovery, I mean, that wasn't a great starting point for any child, but particularly one of us. I grew up in a house that was, we'd everything we ever wanted materially. My dad was very successful in the music business. He managed a band, and he was away a lot. And my mother basically was our primary caregiver. And she was very young. She was 19 when she got married. She was 21 when she had me. She was very young. She was like, came from a very poor background and was in this star-studded life all of a sudden, you know. And I get it now, you know. I get it now. I understand now why she was the way that she was, left on her own, you know, in a strange town. Two small children, you know, my brother who lives in Florida is 2 years younger than me. And she just didn't have it to give, you know, she didn't have it to give. My father's very warm, loving man, but my mother's very cold and icy, and still is. I grew up feeling like I just wasn't wanted and feeling like I didn't belong. See it now as constantly searching for, you know, love, and I'd get it from my father when he was home, but I didn't get it from my mum. So basically, I started acting out when I was about 9 or 10. I had some traumatic things happen to me as well as a child, because my parents were out a lot and we were left with babysitters here and there. And in those days, there was no vetting of people. So I was abused at a very young age, and I started acting out then, started stealing, started lying. That was the start of it. Then as soon as I could, you know, get my hands on alcohol, when I saw what it did, because there was a lot of parties at home, I got my hands on alcohol. Then I was, you know, smoking weed, and then I was off to the races basically, and that was the start of it. And it just got progressively worse, like our literature tells us. So I travelled around the world a good bit. I lived in loads of different countries, and I brought my addiction everywhere with me, everywhere. And I, you know, it was great fun and it was great crack at the start. And, you know, I've had some really bloody good times, you know. I was big, because I've been in the music business, I was a big gig goer, I was a big festival goer, you know. I mean, if there was the opening of an envelope, I'd be there at it. And I'd be the first there and I'd be the last to leave, you know. And I had some really good times and I've met some really amazing people along the way. But in the end, I was a mess. So I went into treatment for the first time in 2004. I came out of treatment. I got about a year, white knuckling, no program, no higher powers, nothing. Going to meetings, but only going to kind of, you know, just show up and whatever. And I thought that I was working, a good recovery. So I went back out, and I tried to get back in on numerous occasions, and I couldn't hold it together, you know. And I convinced myself then that, sure, I was grand. I needed drugs, you know, in order to function, and the drugs weren't harming me at all. And I was a much better person when I was on drugs than when I wasn't. And you know, the list goes on and on and on. I don't need to tell you, you're all here for the same reason as me, you know. And it was harrowing in the end. Like the end, the last 2 years, particularly from 2015 to 2017, I was in this house, my house, in this room that I'm sitting in right now, my sitting room, the curtains closed, and I convinced myself I did not need anybody. All I needed was drugs. That's all I needed. And I would turn off my phone. I would be, you know, out to lunch, basically. Now, I worked. I was a functioning addict, if there is such a thing. I had a very, you know, kind of prestigious job. I owned my own house. I had my own car. I went to the gym every morning. So therefore, there was absolutely nothing wrong with me, you know, in my head. But I couldn't get past either a drug dealer or an off license on my way home from work every day in the last 2 years without stopping off. And what used to be a weekend activity turned into an everyday a week activity. And at the weekends, then when I'd be off work, it was all day, every day. And slowly and surely, I was losing my grip on reality. I'm dual diagnosis. I have numerous mental health labels and issues. During my active addiction, I'd numerous suicide attempts, psychiatric hospital stays. Like I could regale you all with stories here all evening, you know. But jails, institutions, death always comes into my head because the jail was my self-made prison. The institutions were all the different psychiatric hospitals I was in. And death was just around the corner. And I'm fully convinced of that. It was just around the corner. I did try, as I said, on numerous occasions. And there was definitely higher powers looking out for me because I should be stone dead. But I'm not. I'm here speaking to you all this evening. And my last weekend of using, it's a bit of a blur. All I know is when I came back to my house and I came out of the treatment centre, it was like a fucking murder scene. Because I had tried to take my own life again. The drugs weren't working for me. They were working completely against me. And it's very, very hazy. But my God, there was blood everywhere. There was just everything broken all over the place. Oh my God, it was horrendous, horrendous. So my parents took me home at that point after another psychiatric stay, after getting my head stitched up. Oh God. And I was a month doing cold turkey in their house and back into the childhood bedroom again where I'd been abused, where all the trauma that I had gone through as a child was still blueprinted into my brain. And it, oh God, when I think back to it, it was horrendous. And I was under lock and key because they couldn't let me out because I'd be gone, you know, and I'd also kill myself. So I basically went from their house into treatment down in County Clare. It's the west of Ireland, and it was out in the middle of nowhere, and it was this gorgeous place, big Georgian house. And this is where my friend Elaine will be going on Monday morning. And Mum and Dad brought me down, and I remember walking up the steps, crawling up the steps, and my father was holding my hand, and I was shaking like a leaf, and I was like, I was 49 and I was going, I'm going to be the oldest fucking idiot in here. Everyone's going to be laughing at me. These were my thoughts. I remember them so clearly going in. What am I doing here? Like, I just want to be dead. And I went in and I was straight away into group therapy. And I just was in a ball on the chair. I just felt like a shell is the only way I can describe it. Oh, God. Like, I'm shaking here even thinking back to it. And I just cried and cried and cried and cried. And it took me a few days, you know, to even look up and look at anybody else. And I did a 30, well, they kept me for 40 days. I did 40 days and something shifted and I just went, right, this is it now. I'm just going to give it my best shot and do the best that I can. So I listened. I took in everything that they said. I did step 1 to 5 in there. I went to meetings. I was lacerated in group therapy. I wanted to leave. I wanted to go. I wanted everything. I wanted to stay. In the end, I didn't want to leave the place. I was terrified of coming out into the real world again. And I came out on the 17th of November, so I was coming into Christmas time. And Jesus, I was petrified. Christmas without using. What the fuck? And I came home and one of my friends, he stayed here with me for a month because they were all expecting me to relapse, you know. And I just went to meetings every day. And at that time, I had one NA meeting a week. So I went to the other fellowship and I went to meetings every day. Sometimes I went to 2 meetings a day. And I just hung on for dear life. And I asked a woman to sponsor me. She said yes. I thought, right, this is it. Great. I went around to her house for the first, you know, session as a sponsor. And she took out a bag of tablets. Like, I mean, you've never seen anything like the size of it. And she said, do you want anything out of here now before we start? And this is a woman, like, who was going to the other fellowship, was declaring herself, you know, a talk the talk and whatever. And this was my first interaction with a sponsor. Oh, my God, I thought, right, I'm never going to last. So I duly got away from her as quick as I could. And, you know, I just kept coming back and I just stuck to myself then. And I was the only woman that was going to NA here, and there was a few lads, and I was keeping to myself there as well. And I was very much a loner in recovery, which, as we all know, is dangerous, you know. But I was too afraid, you know, I was too afraid. And I spent, I suppose, right, so that's 2017, I was 2 years and going to meetings like that. And then I'd go to Dublin, I'd go to Galway, and, you know, you'd find a lot more fellowship there, and I was a lot more trusting there. And then, hallelujah, in one way, was COVID, and we went into lockdown, and something drew me to the UK the first day that I was in lockdown. Higher powers, definitely. And I hit the button on UK NA, and that was it. I started meeting women, started connecting with women, and then I found out about HIGNA, and I started coming to these meetings, and I was going to meetings all over the world, started meeting people all over the world, and my recovery just took off. And thank God, since then, you know, it has just got better and better and better. I have a network of people now in my life that I couldn't have imagined possible. I have the most amazing, amazing friends, and there's a few here tonight. I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for online meetings. And I do all my recovery online now. I don't go to face to face because I don't, you know, I don't have the recovery that I need for me here. So I'm here, I'm in the UK, I'm, you know, Florida most days. My sponsor's in Florida. A sponsor now who doesn't give out bags of tablets when she meets you first. Thankfully. And I have a sponsorship family, you know. I just, oh God, have it all now, recovery wise, you know. So I suppose, like, it's always important for me to hear from others. What do you do on a daily basis to maintain your recovery? So what I do is the minute my eyes open, I'm on to the literature. I have my Just for Today, my basic text, the Spiritual Principles a Day book now, beside my bed. Read them first thing, Just for Today, basic text related page, Spiritual Principle a Day now, and then I have other recovery things that are not NA, that I read as well. I'm connecting with other addicts straight away. Now I have a very bad sleep pattern, and that's okay. I accept that, and I'm awake for at the early hours of the morning, and I spend about an hour or two in the mornings, reading, meditating, writing my gratitude list, my own private one, doing, different readings here, there, and everywhere. Meditate the shit out of myself on a daily basis because I have to. And then I have two dogs, and I'm up, dressed, and out the door. And then I start praying because then I'm out in nature, and then I'm connecting with my higher powers. And I say powers because they're plural for me. There's many, many different powers out there for me. Most of them reside within nature. And I'm a great believer in the spiritual world as well. So I pray as I walk. And, then I'm really, really connected up. And I come back home then and have a shower, get ready for work. I work from home. I'm blessed that I can do that. And I work as a therapist and a psychotherapist, and have clients that I come to my home here. And I love my work, and I get so much out of what I do. I did study addiction studies. I have a degree in social science. I went on, I did counseling psychotherapy. I did addiction studies. I worked in addiction for a while, but I just, have to say, for me personally, it's just too draining, I find my work as it is quite draining, so working in addiction for me was just not working. So I do general counseling. This morning I've been on Zoom. I did a call with a client of mine who lives in Australia now. I had another girl here, another couple of clients here, and I got great satisfaction out of my work this morning. I love what I do. I love being able to help people, and I love being able to help people in recovery, my circle. However, lately I have had to start paying more attention to myself because of the physical ailments that I'm going through, and I've been very, very unwell mentally as well. So I've had to pare back on what I do every morning, as in giving away to others too much of myself and not keeping enough for me, And this is it's a character defect of mine. I will put everybody before me, And I can't do that anymore, I'm 5 years plus around here, and I've got to start giving myself as much love and kindness and compassion as I give out to everybody else. 'Cause I'm on a slippery slope otherwise, And it's been very hard, and I've really felt uncomfortable. Because this week I stopped sending out as much as I would to everybody every morning, and it's been really, really uncomfortable sitting with that, But I have to do it at the minute because I have to start looking after myself better, because I'm just getting sicker and sicker, not addiction-wise, but I've long COVID. I've numerous different things going on, but the long COVID and the head that oh my God, the headaches are unreal. And I'm very weak and I'm very fatigued and I'm trying to work. I keep students here as well that are going to uni here in town. I look after them like Monday to Friday, as in I provide, you know, like obviously the house for them, and I make their meals in the evenings. So I'm a mammy, you know what I mean? Two teenagers, and I'm a mammy to two dogs as well, and I have to walk them and I have to look after them, you know. So I've lots going on in my life, but you know, I'd have none of it if I didn't have my recovery. And I think it was yesterday's Just for Today, recovery first has to be the case, you know. So I've got to look after that recovery, and that recovery does not mean that I give everybody else all of me. That means that I've got to look after Selena first of all, you know. And that's been a very hard lesson, and you know, I'm still learning. And you know what, I'll always be learning. And you know, I'm open-minded enough to know that yes, I'll always be learning, but I'm very bloody happy about that too, you know. And I'm willing to learn, and I'm willing to make my mistakes, and I'm willing to fuck up, you know, once I learn from them, you know. So it's like, with everything I'm going through, what's my lesson here? What's my lesson? So my lesson at the moment is that if I continue running myself into the ground, you know, I'm on a slippery slope. And before I know it, I could be picking up again, you know. And that's the bottom line. It is. So I've got to, you know, I've got to knuckle down now, and I've got to start giving myself as much love and attention as I give to everybody else. And I've start, you know, put my recovery first. Now, my recovery does involve coming on here and being a speaker this evening, you know. This is me giving away, but it's also me getting a lot out of it, because Jesus, I needed this share this evening, because I need to hear myself say the words that I'm speaking to all you guys, because only then, you know, will it really, really sink in. And I'm so grateful to Lisa for asking me to do this year, and the timing of it couldn't be more pivotal than it is right now, you know, because I've been really, really struggling, really struggling. And, you know, like, I'll openly admit it, I've been suicidal, you know, and this is the first time in 5 years that I've been suicidal clean. And that's not a nice feeling, guys, you know. I've been suicidal in the past, but it's always been when I was using. This is the first time clean. That's a very scary place to be, you know. Very, very scary. And it's hitting me at night when I go to bed, you know, when I'm on my own. And those thoughts are very, very scary when, you know, you're laying there at night. But you know, then I remind myself of no, because think of what I'd leave behind. Think of the people I'd hurt. Think of my two little dogs. Think about everything, you know. And then I can pull myself back from those horrendous thoughts. And I remind myself that I am not my thoughts. I am the awareness that lies underneath my thoughts. So I'm, after going off on a tangent there, but back to recovery, I get a meeting in every single day without fail. Sometimes two. I'll do speaker jams when they're on, you know, and I will fill my boots as much as I can with recovery throughout my day. And I read a lot as well. And I would read, you know, like at the minute I'm reading Gabor Mate's new book, The Myth of Normal. I listen to Russell Brand, love him. A lot of people, he's a bit of a Marmite, I know that, but I love him, you know. And He delivers great messages to me. I spent the other day in between my clients listening to Tara Brach, you know, a lot of her talks. I do my best to keep myself as focused, you know, on recovery, looking after myself at the minute, you know what I mean? And just trying my best to, you know, keep it in the day, keep myself in the present moment. I love Eckhart Tolle as well. He comes to my mind right now, you know. People like that, you know, I like any spiritual teachers. I'm a very spiritual, not religious person. And my spirituality is, oh, it's so important to me. And I love deepening my spirituality, you know, and I work on it all the time. I qualified this year as a yoga teacher. I'm not practicing at the minute. I'm not teaching because I'm just not able to. But I will go back to it when my body's able to bring me back to it and when I feel the calling back to it. That was a fantastic course for me to do, really deepened my spirituality. So I'm really into yoga, I'm really into meditation, I'm really into all these things that if you told me this 5 years ago, I would have laughed in your face, you know. But that's what recovery has brought me, you know. It's brought things into my life that I never dreamed possible, you know. This year then I went over to Florida in June to my first NA convention ever, and oh my God, what an experience. Jesus Christ, it was amazing. I got to meet my sponsor, I got to meet all my home group in Florida. I spent the weekend in Orlando at the hotel conference. It was just unbelievable. It really was. I felt like I was in a movie or something. And, you know, it, like for me, that who was a festival goer in my active addiction, it reminded me of like being at a festival, you know, everybody heading down to the main stage in the evening to see the main acts. But this time it was the main speakers, you know, and the atmosphere was just electric. And it was the Florida, Frigna, the Florida region, and, you know, all the different areas of Florida were there. Tampa was there, Steve. And I got to meet so many people and I just had the most wonderful time. And then I went and I spent a week with my brother in St. Augustine. He's moved there from Hong Kong. And I would love, you know, my goals for the future are, you know, to make Florida my home. I'd love to move there. I'd love the climate. I love the recovery the American people have. Their enthusiasm for recovery is electric. Now, I'm not saying that any of us that are English or Irish or Scottish don't have that. We do, but there's just something that draws me to the Americans, you know, and I can see myself, you know, that's my goal and my dream. And I've goals and dreams today. I didn't have a goal or a dream in active addiction. My goal was to score, you know, that was it. Nothing else. Score, you know, get money wherever I could, through whatever means I could, you know, steal it, whatever the fuck I had to do. That was it. That was my goal. Get more drugs, more drugs, more drugs, and convince myself that I was living my best life when actually all I was doing was fucking killing myself, you know, killing my spirit, killing everything about myself and killing the people that were closest to me because they could see me sinking away, you know, and there was nothing they could do because they were as powerless over me as I was over my addiction, you know, and admitting that powerlessness, going into treatment and eventually saying, yeah, do you know what? This has me. I am absolutely powerless. I cannot take a drug and think that I have this under control because I just can't, you know. One hits me and like our literature said, you know, It's never enough. And I'll keep going to the bitter end, you know. And like, Jesus Christ, when I look back on the insanity and the things that I told myself, you know what I mean? Telling myself that I needed drugs in order to function. Like, what the fuck? You know? And listening to Elaine across from me this evening just remind me, like she said, the lies that I've been telling everybody. Everything. The lies I've been telling myself. And I suppose that's the major thing, isn't it? The lies we tell ourselves, you know? And the spiral that we create for ourselves and where it brings us. Oh my God, I never, ever want to go back there again, lads. I really don't. To see her this evening just reminded me of what I was like at the end of the road. And that last month, you know, before I went into treatment, just falling apart at the seams, you know. So however physically or mentally unwell as I am this moment right now, I am a million times healthier than the person I was at the end of the road in my active using. A million times healthier, you know. And I'll get through this, you know, I will get through this, and I know this too shall pass, you know. I'm being tested and tried right now because I've lessons to learn, and those lessons are what I've outlined to you earlier. I need to look after myself more, you know, and I will do that, and I will get through this, and I will grow from this, and I will go on to another level in my recovery. You know, and our literature tells us as well, what served us at one stage in our recovery does not serve us for the whole lot of our recovery. We're constantly evolving and changing. And, you know, I was kind of caught in this routine of, this is what I do every day. This is what I do for the rest of my life. No, no, no. I constantly have to change and evolve on a daily basis and change what I do and keep my recovery fresh. So, you know, I've left a lot of groups on WhatsApp that I was on. I've left them all this week. I've just taken a step back from everything. So I'm going to regroup, you know, and, you know, be open-minded, be willing and be honest that I need to change what I'm doing in recovery, because I've got to keep growing here. It's not going to stay stagnant, you know. I've got to keep growing. I've got to keep evolving. And, you know, hopefully hearing myself say what I'm saying here this evening to ye will, you know, validate it even further in my head that I'm on the right path. I'm doing the right things. I'm being guided by my higher powers. This is what I have to do for me right now, you know. And I will do it, you know, and it started this week, hopefully after this evening, you know, after hearing myself say it, I'll take it a step further, you know. But what I'll keep doing is I'll keep coming back. I'll keep getting my meetings in every day. I'll keep plugging myself in. I'm so grateful to be a member of this fellowship, because this fellowship, we address addiction. We don't stick to one particular substance, you know. It's addiction. Addiction. That's what we're all here for. And it doesn't matter how it manifests itself, whether it be through drugs, food, sex, internet, whatever the hell it is. It's addiction, you know. It's an illness. We're sick people and we need each other. And I love Narcotics Anonymous because it welcomes everybody, you know. And alcohol is a drug. Alcohol is a drug, period. But it welcomes all types of addiction. And that's what I love about Narcotics Anonymous. And I love being a member of it. And I'm a proud member of it. And I shout it from the rooftops if needs be, you know. And I'll keep coming back and I'll always be here. I'll always be here. Just for today, I'm here. But, you know, my intention is to always be here. And I think now I've just kind of bled myself dry. I think that's enough for you to listen to of me this evening. I look forward to hearing other people share. And thank you, thank you, thank you for having me here this evening, because it's helped me so much doing this share this evening. And I'll just leave it there, guys. Thanks a million for listening. I hope I helped someone here this evening.